Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We are going to be in Romans chapter 8. We're continuing on in our series of freedom. If you missed a Sunday or two, you can find them online. They are there. I don't think I've ever done a series just kind of on this, just on freedom, going several weeks. So this has been, I enjoy it. You know, pastors can get, they have to kind of keep it interesting too, you know. Preach things different ways. And, you know, the first year Bible school student, he gets out of Bible college and he goes to his first church and he goes, I preach through the Bible. And, you know, the first year he preaches through the Bible in the first year. He goes, what do I do after that, you know? And that's when you start digging deeper and you realize, you know what, there's, if you really dig deep into Scripture, you can spend a whole year on the Gospel of Matthew or on John. If you really start digging in and looking at Scripture. Romans is a fascinating book. Paul writes it to these Roman believers that I believe he hadn't had a chance to meet at this time, but he was hoping to meet with them, and eventually he would. But it is it's an incredible book, along with Galatians. Romans just has a lot more to it. And so we've kind of worked our way through chapter 7. We're in Galatians chapter 5, where we talked about, Paul says that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so we worked through Galatians 5 that ends with living in the power of the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of wickedness. It produces the fruit of righteousness in our lives. And so we've been talking about freedom. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever I want to do, right? Okay, what is freedom? How have we been defining freedom? It's the ability to do what is right and what honors God. The ability to do what is right and what honors God. And we think, well, that isn't an issue. But Paul says, you know, I want to do right. Instead of doing right, I do what I'm not supposed to do. I do wrong. And the wrong that I do, I don't want to do. But I do it anyway. And so we could say, you know what, I am free, but really we're not free unless we're able to do what is right and what honors God and have the power to carry that through. And so Paul deals a lot with the law, and he says, you know what, the law shows us what is right and wrong, but it doesn't give us the power to do what is right. Okay? Now, we've been working our way through this, and if we were to take an assessment of our week, and even if you've been here for all the messages, is it anybody been here for all the messages? All right, Tammy, you've been here. Even if you've been here through all the messages, you probably have messed up once or twice since then. Okay, all right, because we're still working that through. We're still trying to flesh that out in our own lives, and so we've worked our way through chapter 7, where Paul really deals in his battle with sin. And then we get into chapter 8. He says, thanks be to God who rescues me through this. And so we've worked through that. And now we get to the kind of the middle of chapter 8, starting in verse 18. And Paul talks about suffering. And you think, what is suffering and freedom? How do those two to go together? Well, we're going to find out. Okay? Suffering, in our culture, we're not quite sure what to do with suffering in America, do we? How many people in our culture like suffering? Now, some cultures have a little more positive spin, like some Asian countries have a little more of a positive spin on suffering. But in our culture, we usually associate suffering with bad, right? Okay? And if I am going through a time of suffering, whether it's health issues, whether it's financial issues, or issues at work, we think, God, what did I do wrong, right? That's typically, or what did I do wrong, or what's wrong? But suffering, according to Paul, produces perseverance, and perseverance character. In fact, all the apostles, including Paul, would suffer for the cause of Christ. So what we're talking about here is he's going to talk about suffering, okay? And suffering can come to us in many different forms, right? Give me some avenues that suffering comes into our life. Help me out. How does suffering come into our life? Through other people, relationships. They can inflict pain and suffering upon us. What else? Through things we do, yes. We can sometimes bring suffering upon ourselves, right? Okay, what else? Loss, death, with the loss of a child, a parent, a loved one. That's suffering. Okay, issues, just things that happen within our own life that we don't have control over. All right? What about health issues? Yeah, that's suffering. And sometimes it's, you know, we do things, you look back and you think, man, I shouldn't have done that, but, you know, you can't go back, can you? You can't push that rewind button and go back. There's some things I wouldn't have picked that up and did that. There's things we wish we could go back and undo. So suffering comes into our life in a lot of different forms, and Paul mentions that. I think his immediate context is the suffering that we face, whether it's health or just the culture we live in, but all on his radar was also the idea that suffering comes because Christ is in our life, because we represent Christ. And you think about the apostles, all the apostles, and including Paul, would die a martyr's death. Okay, they would die because they represented Christ and they proclaimed Christ. And ultimately, they would not only be persecuted because of that, but they would suffer and they would die because of the cause of Christ. So that is at the forefront of what Paul is talking about here concerning suffering, but it includes, I believe, suffering in every category, but especially for serving Christ. So let's pick it up in verse 18 through 21. Let's begin there, and then we'll move on. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings, notice that is plural, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed within us. There's some things we can compare, right? You can compare apples to apples, but you really can't compare apples to oranges, right? Okay? They're two different things. Paul's saying our current suffering and God's glory are a whole different spectrum and category. You can't compare the two because one is so much greater than the other. Okay? Creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God. That ties into Psalms 84. To be revealed. For creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. You ever think about that? The minute something is born, it begins the process of decay. Doesn't it? I hate that process. The minute I put paint on the house, the clock starts ticking. It's going to have to be painted again. Okay, right? Right? The minute we enter this earth, the clock starts ticking, we start decaying. I know I'm really encouraging you guys. But that's the way it is, right? That is part of our world at the current time because we live under the curse that started back in Genesis 3. That there would be weeds in the garden, that there would be sickness, that there would be disease, and there would be death. Because sin entered the picture. All of creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts, dear God. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. The first point I want us to look at, no one is exempt from suffering, are we? I wish you could just kind of, you know, in the card game, you just get a pass, you know. You get to get out of jail or you get free from suffering pass, right? Don't you wish you could have that? And we don't. It can be because of relationships in our life, that a marriage that isn't going right, or the kids aren't following the Lord like they should, or bad relationship with our parents. It can come bad relationship at work and the difficulties there. It can come because of health issues or because that we're taking a stand for Christ in our life. It can come in a lot of different forms. None of us is exempt from suffering. Whether a little or of a lot, it comes in a variety of ways. But Paul says our present, our current suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that is yet to come, when Christ will return for his church and he'll establish his kingdom on earth. God's glory that one day will be revealed will be so much greater, and nothing can compare to it. And I believe the point that Paul wants us to catch here, and this is in your notes and your programs there, is that today's suffering will be exchanged for glory. Today's suffering will be exchanged for glory. Those aches and pains that you have now, Scripture says, when you get to heaven, there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain. Amen? You know, one of the things of the curse is that there would be pain during what? Childbirth. Just think about that, women, if you were able to give birth without pain. I mean, that would just be, wow. Just think about that, Karen. She's texting that. Just think about that. But today's suffering will be exchanged for glory. I'll talk more about that. And when I say glory, what do you think of? Paul talks about glory. What do you think about when I say that word glory? What pictures come to your mind? Glory. Heaven? Okay. What else? Peacefulness? What else? Glory it's used in the Old and the New Testament. Doxa is the word. And doxology, you probably get that word from that. But doxa describes the presence of God, but it means that we can sense the presence of God in a tangible way. Okay? If somebody was to take 50 pounds and place it upon your shoulder, you're going to feel that, right? Whew. You're going to feel that weight. In the same way, that word glory means that we can feel the presence of God in a weighty way. It's something that we sense and that we feel, the presence of God. And there's times that we go through life and we don't sense God. We know God's there according to Scripture, and we're walking by faith. But there's times that we sense the presence of God. Whether it's having our sins forgiven, or we're just in worship, or maybe we're in prayer, but we just sense God's presence come in. It's something that we can feel. And that word glory means that we can feel the weight of God's presence. Now, when Solomon dedicated the temple in the Old Testament, they offered thousands of sacrifices that day, and it said that the glory of God filled the temple. And as it did, guess what happened? People, yeah. Why? Nobody says, hey, at this moment in time, you guys are all going to fall down on your face. That's not what happened. As God's presence filled that place, they felt the weight of God's presence, and they fell face down before God. They felt the weight of his presence. Scripture says that when we get to heaven, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because we'll be in God's presence. You feel the weight of his presence. And it's not a fearful thing. It's just that we're in the presence of someone, our God, who is so great and powerful. And that's where the psalmist says, he said, better is one day in the courts of God, in the presence of God, than a thousand elsewhere. The point I want to make is that often our suffering can engulf us, and it's all that we can see. You ever been there? The pain, the suffering is so bad that that's all that we can see, and we lose sight of the glory and the presence of God. And Paul wants to remind us that today's suffering will be exchanged for God's glory. And there's no way to compare the two, because God's glory is so much greater than the bad things that we experience here on earth, even death. Nothing can compare to the glory of God. Let's see what else he has to say in verse 22 through 25. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. He talks about three things groaning in our text today. The first is creation, second is us, and the third one is the Spirit groans. groaning. Many times we communicate through words, right? But a groan or a cry is a form of communication too. Now, which one do you think communicates more urgency or more feeling? Words or a cry or a groan? Yeah. Even though they're not words, they communicate an urgency. If I'm in extreme pain and I cry out, that communicates more than, hey, I think I'm in a lot of pain. If I go, ah! That means it hurt, right? It means I'm in pain. I didn't really say a word other than ah, but it communicated something. Creation groans as in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for the adoptions of Son, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes what he already has? But if we have hope for what we do not have yet, we wait patiently for it. If we've invited Christ into our lives, his Spirit is within us, and we have a taste of what is to come. And we sense his presence in a tangible way. It is the first fruits, a little taste of his glory that we'll experience in heaven. And we're in a time of worship or a time of prayer, and all of a sudden God fills that place, and it's kind of like, wow, God, you're there. Folks, that's just a taste of what heaven will be like when we're in the presence of God. Now, if you've ever had a taste of Karen's potato salad, and she just give you a little spoonful, and she teases you, says you're going to have to wait for the rest of it until some other time. And you go, oh, no, I can't wait. But we have to wait. But sometimes, while we're here on earth and we sense the presence of God, it's a taste of what is to come. And we have to patiently wait until we're in the presence of God. And God comes for his people. And we're in his presence. And Paul says that this is the second principle, that today's suffering creates a thirst for what is yet to come. It creates a thirst for what is yet to come. Now, if you never experience suffering or pain at all on this earth, how many of you would look forward to heaven? It'd be kind of heaven on earth, right? See, suffering reminds us that this isn't all there is, that there's still heaven to come. And it gives us a taste of what is still to come. And so Paul uses the illustration of childbirth. Childbirth is a painful thing, okay? But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? That's probably not the best illustration there. For the baby, there is. I can see. But for the mom, it's painful. And she expects all of a sudden that you have a child that is born. And as she holds that child, is she thinking about the pain? What's she thinking about? She's thinking about the child, isn't it? The miracle. The glory. See, and it's a little bit the same way for us as people. It's like we're going through labor, okay? Man, we don't have anything to compare that to unless you've had kidney stones, I guess, is what they say. Okay? or a knee replacement. But it is suffering, it is pain. But why do women get pregnant and want to have a child? Because they realize it's going to lead to what? A child, right? They know that there's something beautiful at the end of that time that they look forward to. And Paul says in the same way, while we live on earth, is there going to be present suffering? Yeah, there is. But it's like we're going through child pains, labor pains, because someday we're going to be in the presence of God and in His glory, in His presence. Today's suffering creates a thirst for what is yet to come. Well, Paul, and he says, you know, if we already have something, we don't hope for it. Hope is all about that it's not there yet, and we wait by faith, knowing that it is to come. Verse 26 through 27, our third point. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes. Intercession is when we don't pray for our own needs, but we pray for the others, another person's needs. So in the same way the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, with, there's that word again, groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to His will. I just remember going to camp, family camp, and you'd go to the prayer room before service, and sometimes you'd hear people praying in English or in words, but sometimes there was just people kind of groaning, you know, they're praying, and Karen, you remember that? Yeah? Yeah. And there again, it's communicating where when we pray, we're active in prayer. Okay, I'm going to explain this. I'm creating the words, and so I come before God and I say, God, I pray for so-and-so today, and I pray about this. I'm thinking that through, and I'm praying actively, right? I'm thinking up the words to say, and I'm praying actively. But what Paul is saying is that when we're praying with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes over. Because I'm running out of words. I'm running out of how I should pray. And the Spirit comes in, and He prays through us. He prays through us and helps us to know what to pray. And sometimes it may take the form of English. Sometimes it may take the form of, for many of us, we see that as in alignment with tongues or speaking in other languages. It may even take the form of groans and cries where we cry out to God, where the Spirit prays through us. The thing we want to catch is that the Holy Spirit empowers us and intercedes for us and strengthens us to get us from that time of our present to when we meet the Lord on the other side in glory. The Spirit helps us. And some of you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Spirit prays through us. Some of you have never experienced that. But as you seek the Lord in prayer and draw closer to God, that part comes because the Spirit of God is within you. And you move into that place where you say, we sometimes just run out of our words, and that's a good thing, because then the Spirit prays through us. And we pray in alignment with what God is wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives and even in our world. The Holy Spirit in the Greek in the New Testament is referred to two different ways. The first way would be pneuma, so that's Spirit, and then sanctus, kind of sanctos. Kind of lines with the Spanish, okay, which would mean Holy Spirit, okay. So he's referred to in that way, but he's also referred to, and John uses this word pretty much exclusively, in John 14 and 16, those chapters, he's called the Paraclete. Okay? Para, the one called alongside to be our helper. And the Holy Spirit here is the one that is called along to help us, to pray through us, and to minister to us, to strengthen us until we get to that other side, into the presence of God. Desperate times require desperate prayers and the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And He will sustain us day to day until we are ushered into the presence of God. Denise, if you can get Amy. Freedom. One day we will be free from sin. We won't have to worry about temptation ever again. It's kind of like, it'll be gone. Death will no longer be part of the picture. There's not going to be death in heaven. Suffering, that's going to be removed. Revelation tells us that He's going to wipe away every tear. there isn't going to be any suffering in heaven. The trials of this earth will be finished. In fact, they're going to be gone. I don't even think when we get to heaven it's even going to register that, you know what, man, we went through a pretty difficult time. It seems so overwhelming when we were going through it. But we get into God's presence, and I don't even think it's going to be part of our memory because we're in the presence of God. That song, I Can Only Imagine, you know, kind of talks about that. Until that time, we must keep our focus on the outcome, on God's glory and what is yet to come. If we get focused on our suffering and that overwhelms us, that becomes our focus, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to get overwhelmed. I think of the black spirituals. What was the theme of the black spirituals? Okay, there were songs that were written during what? Suffering. Yeah, their slavery. And what was their theme? What did they talk about? Did they talk about suffering? What did they talk about? Talked about glory. They talked about heaven, right? Yeah. The glory that is yet to come. See, they had it right. They realized that the world, you know, they hadn't done anything wrong. It was just part of where they were at, caught in history and culture and time. But they knew that there was a better place that God had prepared for those that love Him in Christ Jesus. But it ties in with what Paul says here, is that there's a lot of great things that we get to experience in life. But there's also suffering. And our time here on earth, we don't know how long we have here. But it's just a taste of what is yet to come in the goodness and the glory of God. And so this morning, I believe Paul wants us, and the Lord would like us, to turn our gaze upon Him. Not our suffering. To be encouraged and realize, you know what? There is suffering in this world, but it's nothing compared to the glory of God. And when either God calls us home or He comes for His church, whatever comes first, we'll be ushered into His presence. We will see what Scripture talks about. Amen? And until then, the Spirit, He's given us the Spirit, His helper, to strengthen us and allow us to live each day for Him and for His glory, for His honor and strength and power, amidst the difficulties and joys and victories, through it all, He's given us His Spirit. Amen. They're going to close with a song that says, I'm trading my sorrows and for the joy and the goodness of God. Amen? It's a little bit of an older chorus, but some of you know them. If you would stand this morning, and I just want to pray for you, and then there will be those of us up front here that are going to agree with you. If you have a need or request, if you want to ask Christ in your life, we'll be here to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. Father, this morning we just thank You for Your Word. And Lord, at times there is suffering that comes into our life, and sometimes it's worse than other times. And we thank You for the good times. The times Your presence is so real and fresh, and just the joys and the happiness that this life has to offer. But Lord, we also know that there's a day that is coming when we'll get to see You face to face in the glory and the presence of who You are. And until that day, Lord, I pray that You would give us the strength in Your Spirit to equip us and to strengthen us and to keep our gaze and our focus upon what is yet to come and to do all that You've called us to do in that time. And we give You the thanks and the praise Your name we ask. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that chorus together. And Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure is Christ. And we're the clay vessel that can be fragile, can be cracked. Some of you are crackpots, yep. To show that the all-surpassing power is not from us, but it's from God. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are all wasting away. Isn't that beautiful? We have that decay going, don't we? Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See, that ties in with what he writes in Romans. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, our suffering, our trials, but on what we focus on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Father, go with your people this morning. May your blessing be with us. And Lord, as we talk about freedom, one day we're going to be free of suffering, of pain. It's all going to be gone. We're not there yet, but one day it's going to be gone, and we'll be in your presence. And until that day, Lord, I pray that, as you say in your word, that you would be present with us to strengthen us, to renew us day by day. Be present here with us until we get to the other side. We give you the thanks and the praise in your name we ask. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. Greet one another as you leave. Have some coffee, tea. Shake a hand to somebody you don't know. If you don't know anybody, you need to go and introduce yourself. That's before you can leave, all right? Okay. God bless you this morning.